Well, you see, in your study notes, I had to do some doctoring there, some covering up, but this is a representation of the mother of harlots, the abominations of the earth, or, if you would, the one world church that we see coming together even now. The truth of the matter is that God has created each and every one of us to worship. And we know from Psalm 95 and verse 6, it says this, "O come, let us worship and bow down, let us kneel before our Maker." In around 1670, Blaise Pascal put it this way, "There is a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of each man, which cannot be satisfied but only by God the Creator." The truth of the matter is that we were made to reach out beyond ourselves, reach out to the supernatural, and even reach out to God Himself. He made us, inside us, a longing and a restlessness that only can be fulfilled by God Himself. Since the fall of man, though, we look back in Genesis chapter 3 when man rebelled against God and God cursed man, and because of the curse, we all now have a sinful nature. Our nature has been really perverted, and so the longing that we had, the longing to worship, has now been twisted. Man still reaches out for the supernatural, but no longer for the true God. That's the problem. In fact, the Bible says no man seeks after God. This religiosity that we have within us, that we need to fill it with something. And tragically, false deities, false worship, because of our sinfulness, often fills the bill. Our need for a relationship with God has just been warped, it's been perverted, it's been corrupted by sin. If we look at Romans chapter 1 and verse 21 through 23, we read about it. It says, "Because that when they knew God," they knew there was God, they knew there was a creator, "because that when they knew God, neither were they thankful, but they became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened." Romans 1:22 says this, "Professing themselves to be wise, they became as fools, and changed the glory of an uncorruptible God into an image like of corruptible man, of beasts, and of four-footed beasts, and creeping things." You know, the devil plays on man's religious bent. The desire for someone or something to worship, Satan is the one who is behind and energizes all the false religions. And really, false religions are extremely popular. We have looked at what a biblical church is. There's so many things that are called biblical churches that are not. And Satan, he doesn't come out ugly. We see in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14, that he transforms himself to an angel of light, all kinds of promises, and he disguises his demons as ministers of righteousness. When the rapture of born-again believers, and I trust each one of you is a born-again believer, but when the rapture comes, Satan is going to go into high gear. His demons, his seducing spirits, they are going to be promoting their doctrines of demons more so than even are now, because there are no Christians to restrain the evil forces that will be unleashed. And so that brings us to what I read to you in Revelation chapter 17. And the beginning of the one world church, actually the roots go way back, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but the beginning of the one world church starts after the rapture. The Antichrist comes to power, but he is going to have a second beast, if you would, that begins the false religion big time. The time frame is the first 3.5 years when, as we read in Revelation 17, I'm just telling you what it says there, the mother of harlots, who is the one world religion, will operate until the middle of the tribulation, and that is when Antichrist comes in and unseats the head of the one world religion, and he puts himself in the temple of God and demands worship for himself. So the first 3 years, this one world religion is going to be going big time. In Revelation chapter 17 and 18, it's a real interesting study. It deals with religious, commercial, and political Babylon, as it's called. Our focus is the first 6 verses of Revelation 17, and this is religious Babylon, and this is the final one-world religion. This is the final religion. It hates Christians. Anybody who will not receive the mark of the beast, anybody who will not be involved in the one-world religion, is really a high probability that they're going to lose their life. This final religion is called, according to Revelation 17:1, the great whore that sitteth on many waters. It's very interesting. I don't know whether you ever thought about it a bit, but this whore, this prostitute, this harlot is tattooed in her forehead, and I have a picture of that there for you. And what is she tattooed with? Well, upon her forehead was written, and you can see it there in the picture, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Wow. Why is the one world religion described as a woman? And that's what it's described as. But I want to explain it so that you really grasp hold of why you have Satan's false one world religion described as a woman prostitute, as a woman whore. Throughout the New Testament, a woman is used to symbolize the genuine church. For example, the Apostle Paul writes to the church of Corinth, he says this, "Would to God that ye would bear with me in my folly." It says, "And indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you." And he's talking to the believers there. "I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I might present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." Now that's 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 1 and 2. Clearly, the true church is said to be espoused or engaged to her fiancé, which is Jesus Christ. You see, we as believers are called the bride of Christ. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23 and 24, Paul writes, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church." He is the Savior of the body. "Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything." Again, we see a clear analogy that the true church is in the position of a wife, a woman, submissive to her husband, Christ. Now, when we come to Revelation chapter 12, verse 1 through 5, again, it's talking about Israel this time, but it's called the church in the wilderness and is portrayed again as a woman. And it's being used to show that this woman gives birth to Jesus Christ, who is ultimately going to rule with a rod of iron. Now we come to Revelation chapter 17, and it should be very obvious in letting the Bible interpret itself and interpret its own symbols that the woman indeed is the church. However, this woman is a prostitute. The church here is sitting on a scarlet beast. and is a spiritual prostitute, a spiritual whore, this is pointing out that the last church is Satan's counterfeit church. And the prostitute, the whore, the one world church has entered into adulterous alliances with the leaders and the kings of the earth in the world, because the Antichrist comes to power and the one world church goes along with the Antichrist trying to get the world to listen to the Antichrist, who does miracles and all these things. Verse 2, it talks about the inhabitants of the earth are spiritually drunk because of her false demonic teachings. Now, she is a mother church giving birth to spiritual harlots, according to verse 5. And as indicated, she deals in mysteries, as did ancient pagan religions that went before her. So what you have here is the final form of the apostate religion that's coming to fruition before our eyes. It says that this one world church called the mother of harlots is the mother of all idolatry, the mother of all false religion. And I want you to know the roots of this. The roots of this one world church, according to the Bible, go all the way back to Nimrod's Babylon. Babylon gave birth to all forms of false religion across the world. It was Ham's grandson, if you do the study, it was Ham's grandson, Nimrod, who in defiance refused to replenish the earth. They were told to be fruitful and multiply after the flood and replenish the earth, and he would have no part of it. So what he did is gather a bunch of rebels together. And you know what they did? They started the Babylonian Empire, and they began to build a tower. From satellite, you can still see the remnants of the Tower of Babel. But this Tower of Babel was built to be a worship place of the mystery religions and of astrological worship. So Nimrod built this false religion, got a bunch of people around them that rebelled against the true God. They built Babel to be the focal point, and God intervened. You remember what happened? At that point, the earth was all what? One language. But God came down and confound their languages. Therefore, they had to spread across the earth. But the problem was, if you read Genesis chapter 10 and 11, this is what I'm talking about. The problem was that they took their pagan religions worldwide with them. Nimrod's Babylon gave birth to all the forms of false religions all over the world. Babylon and Nimrod are the mother of them all, and that's why it says Babylon is the mother of harlots. This is the source of all the earth's idolatries. It spawned them all in Genesis. And in the end, and here's what's happening in our day, and I'll show you. In the end, all come home to mama. They're going to be collected around this false religion again. She is an unholy counterpart to the bride of Christ. And it doesn't matter. Islam, Confucianism, Hinduism, Shintoism, Taoism, Animism, Spiritism, Astrology, Buddhism, the occult, the mysticism, and Roman Catholicism, which is an amalgamation of many of them. They've all been mothered all the way back here by this false religion that was created in Nimrod's time. Babylon mothered them all, and all of her children will come home to her. And here's what's happened. Even though it seems to be irreligious in our world right now, in the end, Satan, by his power of the Antichrist, is going to draw all people to be involved in this one world religion. Because if you don't, guess what's happened? You'll die. Now, want to move on to the next point. And the next point is simply this. Who will lead in the effort to bring the one world religions together? Well, I need to say, first of all, there has to be a political basis before there can be a religious basis. And I believe that what you have here is that the United Nations is likely the key one establishing the one world government. I have an article entitled this. I printed it off, showed it to one of the brothers who stopped in earlier this week. The United Nations wants a one world government in less than 12 years. I have, it was an article that was written November 5th on 2018. The United Nations issued a doctrine, a document called this, Transforming Our World, the 2030 Agenda for Substantial Development. They want the one world government in place by 2030. And it's very interesting. The United Nations has made a move to give itself a time frame for the initiating of the plan of planetary supremacy and domination. The document has 91 points. It contains 14,883 words. And the article notes, quote, absolutely no sphere of humanity, of human activity, let me read it right, absolutely no sphere of human activity is exempt from the control of the United Nations. Very interesting there. And you know they've set up a world court. You've already heard about the world court. Our current president won't have anything to do with their treaties and their things there. But it further states, it says, final decisions are in the hands, and this is somebody commenting on the United Nations, of the devilish, all-knowing Big Brother. I don't know whether you can really realize how much about us is known today. How much is known to us today? If you have a cell phone, know where you're going. If you have a cell phone, all your text messages, all your Facebook posts, everything, all that metadata is being stored. So when Antichrist comes to power, if you're still around, I'm not going to be here because I know Jesus Christ is Savior. I'm out of here. But there's so much that is known about everybody today. There will be a one world religion working in conjunction with the one world government. And you may be surprised, but then you may not be. I believe it is the Roman Catholic Church that will be used to bring together the one world religion. The reason is that the Roman Catholic Church so well fits Revelation 17:4. Listen to Revelation 17:4 and then let me illustrate. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. Now, look at the notes, and you can see the little picture that I put there. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color. Remember, the woman represents the false church. The bishops are clothed in purple. There's a picture. The cardinals are in scarlet and decked with gold. I remember when I visited Rome with my wife and we went through the Vatican Museum, there is gold. There are jewels. It is all over the place. And you know how they got the money to be able to do those things? I do. Selling indulgences. If you want to murder somebody, you can buy an indulgence and you can get the forgiveness of that. If you want to be an adulterer or an adulteress, you can do that. In fact, If you think I'm talking through my hat, look at what the Catholic Encyclopedia says. Quote, the color of the bishops and other prelates is purple and the cardinals are scarlet. The Vittorio Cross should be made of gold and decorated with gems. I've got that documented right where it's at. And if you go back here, it says this. It says, her hand is full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. Do you see what's going on in relationship to sexual immorality in the Roman Catholic Church? I mean, it is widespread worldwide, and they have covered it for so many years. The Roman Catholic Church fits the bill. If you look at Revelation chapter 17, verse 6, and I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus Christ. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Do you know that during the Inquisition, beginning in the 1200s and running through the 1800s, do you know that during the Catholic Inquisition, the articles that I've read, it ranges from either 12 million to 68 million Christians were killed by Rome. You know what they were killed for? They were killed for reading the Bible in their own language. They were killed because they would not believe, as we come to the Lord's table this morning, when the Catholics do communion, they hold up the wafer and they say hocus corpus, and they say that turns into the literal body of Christ, and then they say that the grape juice turns into the literal blood of Christ. And if you wouldn't assent to that, and if you wouldn't bow to the host in the monstrance and worship that host, then many people were killed for that because they did not believe in the literal presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Mass. I know where the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ is here today. I know where it's at. It is not there. Do you want to know where it's at? If you're a believer, it's here. It's here. And so, in the Inquisition that took place from the 1200s and to the 1800s, at least 12 million people died. So it clearly is that they are drunk with the blood of the saints and the martyrs. That's the history. The Pope is working to bring all religions together today. There's a picture in your study notes, and it's Pope Francis. And you'll see with Pope Francis is a Jewish rabbi. There's a turbaned Sunni imams. There's turbaned Sunni imams. There's Shia Ayatollahs. Right there is the Archbishop of Canterbury. There's a Hindu guru. You look in the back there, there's orange-robed Buddhist chief priest from Malaysia. And the Pope is flanked by a shaved-headed Vietnamese Zen nun. And they're all gathering together for the project to stop human trafficking. And he's bringing all these people together. Certainly, I want to stop human trafficking. There's no doubt about that. But he wants the Catholic Church to be the catalyst to get all these religions together, and he'll use anything to do that. But there are noted other Protestants and evangelical leaders and charismatics that are joining Rome too. There's a picture that I have posted in your study notes, and let me tell you a little bit about it. Brian Stiller is the global ambassador of World Evangelism Alliance, the global association which represents some 600 million evangelical Protestants. Then you have the late Tony Palmer. He was killed in a motorcycle accident, but he was a liaison for the Pope to the Protestants at the forefront of a new movement that is still going strong to bring unity between Catholic and charismatic Christians. Then you have Jim and Betty Robinson, Southern Baptists. Robinson got involved in the charismatic movements, and he is personal friends with Pope Francis and has even had him on his worldwide program. In a blog posting in May of 2014, Robinson called for the unity with Catholics. He said, quote, "I believe there is an important spiritual awakening beginning in the hearts of those truly committed to Christ in the Protestant and Catholic communities." Whoa, hold the phone right there. True believers wouldn't have anything to do with that. No, no, no. "Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate." They teach a false Christ. They have a false church. And they don't hold to the Word of God as the final authority. Goes on with the quote, "It is possible that Pope Francis may prove to be an answer not only to the prayers of Catholica, but also of those known as Protestants." You can read about the whole thing in the Way of Life thing that I put there. Let me just tell you something. I am not a Protestant. Baptists have never been Protestants. Protestants came out of the Catholic Church. They protested. That would be the Reformers, that would be the Lutherans, that would be the Presbyterians. But Baptists have held to the New Testament distinctives. They've been called by different names through the centuries. But Baptists were never a part of Rome, therefore they never had to leave Rome because they followed the doctrine of the apostles and the prophets. I am not changing our name. We're not going to be the First Community Church of Oak Creek. No, no, no. I am not ashamed of the name Baptist because of its historic holding to the New Testament distinctives of the faith. You can say whatever you want to say, but my friends, I believe the rapture is near because we are seeing the one world church come together right before our eyes. We're seeing all the pieces come together. And I'm not saying the Pope is going to be the leader of the false church, but I am saying that he is the catalyst for the bringing together of the one world church, the false church that is going to go great guns as soon as we're taken out of here. I believe that the Antichrist is alive today. I believe that the second beast, the leader of the one world religion, is alive today. And let me tell you again why I believe that before we close and come to the Lord's table. Nobody knows the day or the hour that the Lord is going to rapture us. We can see the times and the seasons, and I hope you can see the times and the seasons. So the devil has to have waiting in the wings somebody who can fulfill those two positions. Could it be the current pope? It could be. I don't know. And I don't know who is Satan's choice for the Antichrist, but I do know that he has one ready to install once we are raptured. As I put the things together and as we end the service before we come to the Lord's table, the only people who are going to be taken up in the rapture are those who have admitted that they're sinners and those who have seen how their sin hurts God, and those who believe that Jesus Christ died for their sins and rose again from the dead. What do you need to do to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior? The Bible says, "Whosoever shall what? Call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." It's simple. You pray in faith, asking the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your life, to forgive your sins, and to save your soul, and to make you be the kind of person that He wants you to be. Have you done that? It was great to hear the testimonies today of those who have trusted Christ. They're born again. They're Christians. And so when the rapture comes, we're out of here. I'm so thankful for that. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed.